Today we're reading Canto 6, Chapter 9, Text 22, and I think I'll read to 24. Avishmitam tam paripurnakamam Sanaiva labhena samam prashantam Vino pasar patya param hibalasa Svalangulena tititari sindhum Avishmitam who was never struck with wonder Tam him Paripurna Kaman who was fully satisfied Svena by his own Eva indeed Labhena achievements Samam equiposed Prasantam very steady Vina without Upasarpati approaches Aparam another he indeed Balisha a fool Shwa of a dog Langulena by the tail Atitari wants to cross Sindhum the sea. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Free of all material conceptions of existence and never wonderstruck by anything, the Lord is always jubilant and fully satisfied by his own spiritual perfection. He has no material designations and therefore he is steady and unattached. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only shelter of everyone. Anyone desiring to be protected by others is certainly a great fool who desires to cross the sea by holding the tail of a dog. Purport. A dog can swim in the water, but if a dog dives in the ocean and someone wants to cross the ocean by holding the dog's tail, he is certainly fool number one. A dog cannot cross the ocean, nor can a person cross the ocean by catching a dog's tail. Similarly, one who desires to cross the ocean of nescience should not seek the shelter of any demigod or anyone else, but the fearless shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58 therefore says, Samashrita ye parapalava plavam mahat padam punya yaso marari bhavam bhutir vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. The Lord's lotus feet are an indestructible boat, and if one takes shelter of that boat, he can easily cross the ocean of nescience. Consequently, there are no dangers for a devotee, although he lives within this material world, which is full of dangers at every step. One should seek the shelter of the all-powerful instead of trying to be protected by one's own concocted ideas. 23. The Manu named King Satyavrata formally saved himself by tying the small boat of the entire world to the horn of Matsya Avatar, the fish incarnation. By the grace of the Matsya Avatar, Manu saved himself from the great danger of the flood. May that same fish incarnation save us from the danger and from the great and fearful danger caused by the son of Tvasta. Text 24. In the beginning of creation, a tremendous wind caused fierce waves of inundating water. The great waves made such a horrible sound that Lord Brahma almost fell from his seat on the lotus into the water of devastation. but he was saved with the help of the Lord. Thus we also expect the Lord to protect us from this dangerous condition. So today perhaps we can explore more about the Lord's protection and somehow try to appreciate and understand how we can enter into that shelter and protection and take advantage of that. I'm reading this verse. I was probably remembering probably the most graphic incident that ever occurred to us in which we felt the Lord's protection. In 1973, the temple was a two-story house with 30, 35 ecstatic devotees, brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, grihasthas, a few kids, living in this one small house. And it was a wooden structure. So one night, one of the devotees couldn't sleep. He woke up in the middle of the night, so he decided just to go outside and chant japa outside. So he went downstairs, and we were up. Everyone slept on the upper floor. There was three rooms, brahmacharis in one room. There was a sankirtan office. A few devotees slept in there. There was a brahmacharini ashram. Downstairs was a temple room office, and downstairs was full of boxes of Prabhupada's books. So everyone was sleeping on the top floor. So this devotee, he goes outside, he opens the door, he looks out, and he sees in the alleyway a car, and this man standing by the car holding a bow and arrow, and the arrow has the flame on it, you know, a flaming arrow? And he's aiming it at the temple. And when the man saw the devotee open the door, he dropped the bow and arrow, got in his car, and drove away. And that man had placed gasoline all around the four sides of the temple. He was just about to shoot this arrow into the gasoline. The whole building just would have immediately gone up in... Krishna, for some reason, decided to save us that night. It was a very graphic example of Krishna's protection. So we all experience in different ways sometimes Krishna's mercy and protection in greater or lesser ways. And Srila Prabhupada, one time he was giving a lecture on Krishna's protection, and somebody asked that, Srila Prabhupada, well, sometimes I see devotees they're getting ill and dying. And why is Krishna not protecting? He said, why are they dying? And Prabhupada said, they are not dying, they are going back to Godhead. They're going back to Godhead. So Krishna's protection may manifest in different ways. Eventually, for all of us, there's going to come a time when Krishna wants to take us back to his abode, and we will have to give up this mortal coil, this material body. And Krishna will have some arrangement for that, and that may come in many different forms. There was actually another devotee that actually left his body in a fire. Somebody threw some kind of firebomb through a window, and one devotee actually left his body because of that. But so you never know how Krishna's protection will manifest. And Krishna's... no one can understand the will of the Lord. So we can think in terms of Krishna's protection, then we can think, well, Maharaj Parikshit, he was cursed to die in 7 days. The Pandavas, they were banished to the forest for 14 years. So many horrendous things happened to them. Attempt was made to poison them, to burn them in this house of lack. They were cheated out of their kingdom. So many seemingly cruel and harsh things happened to them. And it's very interesting. After the battle of Kurukshetra, when everything was over, Queen Kunti, she was praying to the Lord. She offered these famous prayers. And she said, my dear Lord, may these calamities happen again and again, so that we may see you again and again. For by seeing you, we will no longer have to face repeated birth and death. So she was appreciating the adversity as an opportunity to remember Krishna. And that Krishna would manifest with that remembrance. And so she wasn't lamenting those difficulties, but she was appreciating that it created an opportunity to protect for Krishna's to manifest himself before them. So we can never understand the activities of the Lord or his pure devotee. And it's a very, very mysterious thing. And sometimes, again, it's very mysterious how it manifests. Brahmananda Prabhu came to Sarnagati once, and he was telling us some very interesting things about Srila Prabhupada and his history of coming to America and of his early time in New York. And one very interesting thing he was telling us was in 1967, Prabhupada had a temporary visa, and that visa expired. And prior to that visa expiring, Srila Prabhupada, he asked, I think, Garga Muni and one other devotee to open a temple in Montreal. So New York is in the U.S. Montreal is maybe a four-hour drive across the border into Canada, quite close. And so Srila Prabhupada, he was asking the devotees, can you open something, let's go to Montreal and start something. But Brahmananda said that the devotees were saying, well, Srila Prabhupada, we don't want to go to Montreal, there's no hippies there. Because the devotees were seeing that the hippies were joining, they wanted to go where hippies were because it was easy to make these hippies into devotees. So they said, no, Prabhupada, we don't want to go. So Prabhupada let them go somewhere else. And then shortly after, there was a gentleman at a university in Montreal who became initiated. His name was Janardhan. He wrote a letter to Prabhupada and said, oh, can I start something in Montreal? He said, yes, please do that. So this young man, he started something. A few devotees went up to Montreal and helped him, and they ended up renting a bowling alley. That was the first temple in Montreal. And then Srila Prabhupada had this problem with the visa. They were not renewing it. He couldn't get the visa renewed. And Brahmananda was saying at that time, is like 1967, 60, he said they had no money, literally no money, just barely surviving in that little temple, only a few devotees. And he said, if Prabhupada would have had to go back to India, it practically would have been impossible for him to come back again because they couldn't afford plane fare. And for him to go and come on a boat, it would be extremely risky because Prabhupada had this heart attack on the way across. And Brahmananda said it would have been impossible for Prabhupada to return to America practically if he had to go back to India. But Srila Prabhupada somehow had this vision that Montreal was important. Start something in Montreal. So Montreal is in Canada. Canada is a Commonwealth country with England. England, they had this British Empire. So many countries, India and Canada, were part of the British Empire, so they're Commonwealth countries. And still today, it's very easy for people within this Commonwealth to travel between different countries, just like it is in your European Union. So Prabhupada could very easily just get in a car with some devotees, drive to Montreal, go across the border, no problem, and then he stayed there for several months. In Canada, and from within Canada, he was able to renew his American visa outside and then come back into the U.S. and then again start vigorously preaching. So Krishna actually somehow gave Prabhupada that vision, how important this Montreal temple would be. And actually it's a great credit to Montreal that that temple actually facilitated the Krishna consciousness movement being saved at that moment. So that's a very wonderful manifestation of also protection. Interesting also, Brahmananda, he said that he also worked on that same steamship line which Prabhupada came over, the Scindia Steamship Company. And I actually saw one of their boats. It was the sister ship of the Jaladuta. It was called the Jalabala. And it was in a harbor in Vancouver, and I drove up and I saw it docked there once, and you know, I was able to drive quite close to it. And the boat was, I was shocked how small the boat was. Like you see these big new cruise ships, they're huge, huge. And that sister ship of the Jaladuta, which is probably identical to the Jaladuta, which from the pictures I've seen, It was probably as long as some of those cruise ships are wide. Very small boat. So Brahmananda was saying how he worked one summer on this Scindia steamship line going and coming across the ocean. And he said, coming across the Atlantic, he said the waves were so big, so huge. He said the boat would go up over a wave and then down into the bottom of the wave. And he said when the boat was going down, he said you could not see over the top of the next wave. And he said the whole, most of the voyage was like that. He said the waves were so big, one crewman actually got washed overboard and disappeared. Frightening, frightening. But Srila Prabhupada, we understand, when he came across, Prabhupada actually had his heart attacks in the Arabian Sea. And Brahmananda said, the Arabian Sea may be rough, but he said, nothing in comparison to the Atlantic Ocean. Nothing. So Prabhupada had two heart attacks when the Jaladutta was in the Arabian Sea. But we understand the history that when Srila Prabhupada's the boat arrived in the Atlantic Ocean, it became just like glass, completely clear. And how the captain had commented that he had never experienced that before. He had never experienced that before. So we can see how Krishna protected Prabhupada by just calming the ocean for his journey. So that was special. Krishna was protecting this pure devotee, like we can't imagine. And so we're all looking for Krishna's protection. And our protection actually comes from, Bhagavad Gita describes, Chetasasarva Karmani, Mayi Sanyasi Mat Paraha, Buryagam Upashrita, Ma Chetasatatambhava. That Krishna says, he says, all activities just depend upon me and work under my protection. And then he says, but if you don't become conscious of me, you can be lost. So we don't want to become lost. We want to work under Krishna's protection. And we are so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has established this international society for Krishna consciousness so we can have that shelter. And that shelter is something... it's something very special and something very mystical and powerful. And as this verse says, taking shelter of anything else is like holding a dog's tail and thinking you'll get across the ocean. So what is the shelter that's afforded by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? What actually is this society? And I had some very graphic realizations about that. In 1977, we were present with Srila Prabhupada the last week and a half before he left this world. And we stayed in India probably for at least a month after. And after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, every single Bhagavatam class, Bhagavad Gita class, it was just about Prabhupada. So that's all you heard about, just all these pastimes about Prabhupada. Everyone was completely absorbed in just talking about Prabhupada and thinking about Prabhupada and reading Prabhupada's books. It was just this intense absorption in Prabhupada. So we came back from India to Vancouver. And the first morning, after our arrival back, as I got up that morning and I walked to the temple, and there was a little prasadam room, and there was a Jewish man sitting on a prayer mat, some kind of Jewish prayer mat. He had his little round hat. He's sitting there by himself. Someone had given some prasadam. So I just naturally thought, okay, we've been thinking about Prabhupada so intently. I just thought, I'm going to tell this man about Srila Prabhupada. I'm going to tell this man about Prabhupada. I sit down in front of him, and I just introduce myself, and he introduced himself, and I started to tell him about Srila Prabhupada. And then I was surprised. He said, oh, I met Srila Prabhupada. So I was surprised, and I said, really, where did you meet Srila Prabhupada? And just to give a little background to this, this man, he's described in the Prabhupada Lilamrita. His name was Ruben. And he would work on the subway. And he would get off the subway sometimes near Tompkins Square Park and have his lunch there. And so he was telling me on many occasions he would go to the park and he would see the devotees chanting with Prabhupada, and he said it was, he said something was happening there he'd never seen before, because that park was always noisy and there was like wind and papers would be blowing around, and he said, but when Prabhupada would chant or talk, he said the park would become completely still, completely still. And he said, I swear the birds that would land in the tree, and it seemed like they were listening to Prabhupada. And he also told me that he thought about joining Prabhupada's little group on 26th Second Avenue. He gave it some serious thought, but he decided to go on a world tour. And he said one day, he was actually sitting with Prabhupada on this bench, and he told Prabhupada about his plan. He said, Swamiji, I'm going to go on this tour around the world. And he was just saying, you know, goodbye to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada pointed out into the park and said, he said, one day you'll come back to Krishna. And so anyway, this man, he went on this world tour between 1967 and 77. He never saw any devotees. He never heard anything about Prabhupada's movement, never came across a book, nothing. And somehow he ended up in Vancouver, Canada, happened to see our temple, and happened to walk in, and someone gave him some prasadam, and he's sitting there after 10 years. And so he starts telling me this, all these experiences he had with Srila Prabhupada. And so he was telling me that he had great respect for Prabhupada. He could see that Prabhupada was a very holy man. And at the same time, he knew at that time Prabhupada had practically nothing. Just one little temple, a few kind of hippie followers. And he said this one afternoon, he's talking with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada pointed out into the park and said, I have temples and disciples, printing presses, farms, all over the world. And this man Reuben, he told me, he said he didn't know what to think, because it's a bit of a contradiction, because Prabhupada had nothing. He's saying, I have these things. And then he said, Prabhupada, this famous statement that's recorded in the Lilamrita, he said, they're simply separated from us by time. We simply have to move through time and have faith in Krishna. So he's telling me this, I can't believe it. And so he ends up in Vancouver. He sees the temple. A movie had just come out that Yadavara Prabhu had produced. I think it was called The Hare Krishna World. And he saw this movie about what's happening in ISKCON. He saw what Prabhupada said actually manifest. It actually manifest. So we actually arranged for that man to be interviewed for the Prabhupada Leelamrita, and it's recorded there. But his history is actually quite interesting, because he didn't know anything about ISKCON for 10 years. And then he saw that prophecy, that vision manifest. And it was the most amazing thing. So what is Srila Prabhupada's vision? What is Prabhupada's vision? We were telling other devotees the other night how this O.B. Kapoor, when Prabhupada was a grihastha and he had a pharmacy, Prabhupada's godbrother, O.B. Kapoor, asked Srila Prabhupada, because he saw Srila Prabhupada was very influential at preaching. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, what's your formula? What's your formula? And it was kind of a joke, because Prabhupada was a pharmacist. What's your formula for effective preaching? And Prabhupada quoted the verse, Trinadu peace, Sunichena, that be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all false prestige, ready to offer all respect unto others. In this way one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And this Dr. Kapoor said, Prabhupada said at that time, I'm going to spread this all over the world. He's just a grihastha running some little business. And then he says a similar thing to this Mr. Reuben, that these things are separated from us by time. So how can we understand the vision of a liberated soul? We understand a liberated soul can see past, present, and future. And somehow we understand in the spiritual understanding, there is no future and there is no past. There's only the present. So somehow Prabhupada could see these things manifest in a way that we cannot understand. So where are we right now? We're in a building. We're members of a society. But But actually this, it's more than just a building, more than just a temple, more than just a society. We're actually, we're living in Srila Prabhupada's vision. This is actually Srila Prabhupada's vision we're participating in. And that's something very, I mean, how do we understand that we're actually living in the vision of Prabhupada, and all the devotees who have participated in Srila Prabhupada's mission have somehow helped and been allowed to participate in that vision becoming manifest. So that's a very mystical, very powerful thing. And just like we see how do these things become manifest? Like Jayapataka Maharaj, he was in Montreal when Prabhupada was there, and he said, this is like 67, 68, and Prabhupada saying that at that time everyone lived in the temple. Everyone's packed in just little small temples. And Prabhupada told him that one day most of the devotees will live outside the temple. Jayapataka Maharaj said he had no idea what Prabhupada was talking about, because our only experience of ISKCON was everyone's just crammed in these little temples. And Prabhupada was telling him, one day there will be, most devotees will live outside. So now you see that's manifest. There's so many congregational members all over ISKCON. And Prabhupada had that vision. And someone mentioned today is the appearance day of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And our Ashley Grahastha vision team has a very unique connection with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He was actually very encouraging to us. We had some meetings with us, and very encouraging activities, gave us a lot of help and direction. But many years before the initiative started, one of our god sisters, who was a part of our group, Krishnanandini Prabhu, she wasn't even married at the time. She wasn't married. And Bhakti Tirtha told her, he said, one day you're going to be a part of this world, what did he call it? This world Grihastha, do you remember what exactly he told her? You're going to be a part of a world Grihastha team. And she said, I don't know what he's talking about. She says, I'm not married. She actually had some kids from a previous marriage. She says, I don't know what he's talking about. But he said that you're going to become the head of this world Grihastha program. And then somehow or other, she started getting some training and family counseling. And then over the years, our Grihastha vision team kind of manifested in almost a very grassroots, almost mystical way, the way our group came together. And actually, at first, we formed our group. We had kind of a limited vision. We called it the North American. We thought that's only our influence. We'll be lucky if we can just scratch the surface in North America. So we called it the North American Grihastha Vision Team. And probably, I don't know, two years after we formed, we found ourselves in South Africa doing seminars, Ireland, South America, all over the place. And so Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he also had that kind of a vision that, and sometimes if we can hang on to those visions, and although we might not understand, just have this faith in the instructions of the sadhus and the guru, then sometimes great things happen. Mother Teresa, she said one very interesting thing. She said, we cannot do great things, but she said, we can only do small things with love and devotion. And when I read that, I thought, yeah, that's kind of what happened in our group, and I think that's what happened in our whole society, was that many, many devotees were doing small things to help Srila Prabhupada. Book distribution, prasadam distribution, building temples, preaching to Indian congregation, even householders bringing their families up and influencing other people. And all those small individual efforts of devotion combined together to create something very great, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada's vision, I think it's important for us to understand that we all have an important part to play in that, and whatever it is. And however small that be, we all have some part. Like somebody asked yesterday, it was a good question, well, I might not actually be qualified to get Krishna's protection. Why would Krishna notice me? I'm just an ordinary devotee. Why would Krishna glance upon me or give me any special mercy or protection? But in a sense, that's true for all of us. We're all very insignificant servants. But because Srila Prabhupada is such a dear, dear devotee of Krishna, by somehow serving him, we can get the attention of Krishna. Prabhupada gave this example once. He was speaking on, I think it was the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was saying it's very hard to get the attention of Krishna, to please Krishna. And he gave this example that if you have, a man who has a small son, and he's a wealthy man, it's going to be very hard to please him. You know, you might have to give him some big gift or do some big, huge service for him to get his attention. But he said if that wealthy man has a small son, you might take a little candy that's worth maybe 50 cents, like, or something, a few pennies, and you give it to the child. Oh, the children are happy with any little thing. And so the wealthy man sees, oh, you've pleased my child. And so you actually please the wealthy man with a little tiny candy. So in the same way, for us to get the attention of Krishna, it may be very difficult. But because Srila Prabhupada is such a dear servant of Krishna, so intimately connected with Krishna, we can't imagine that if we can get his attention through serving his representatives, serving his devotees, then Krishna, he can take notice of us. And as Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna can make the possible impossible and the impossible possible. I remember reading that. I think some of you know Kratu Prabhu. Apparently he comes here sometimes. Yeah, he's a very dear god brother. We were building a temple in Vancouver, and it was a huge marathon. We were going to have everything ready for Janmashtami. And it was a huge marathon. And temple president Baudak, he asked me to take some pictures of devotees working. And it was quite stressful because we were trying to get this thing finished for Janmashtami. And the devotees were under a lot of pressure. So temple president asked me to take some photographs of the devotees who were working on the temple. And I went around and I took some pictures. The devotees, and there was one picture of Kratu and the devotee who was in charge of construction. And I just like shot off a bunch of pictures. Then I had them developed. And I got them back. And I looked at the pictures. I thought, oh my gosh, Kratu and this devotee, Dudar, they're having a big argument. I can't use these pictures. But it was like that. It was just so so tense. We're just struggling. And Kratu, he would ask me. I actually made about 20 large stained glass windows, all leaded stained glass, for the temple. And Kratu was saying, "Are you going to have these a week before the temple opening?" He's asking me, "Are you going to have the windows ready to put in the temple?" So I asked him, "Are you going to have a temple ready for me to put the windows in?" Somehow, the last minute, everything manifests by Krishna's mercy. It was unbelievable. Even making those stained glass windows, I realized that it wasn't me doing it; it was actually Krishna, because temple president, I had a little bit of artistic ability. Temple president asked me to take it up as a project. So I made one stained glass thing like that big, and then something this big. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to make a pattern of something big. So I drew this pattern. It was two peacocks facing each other, and they're standing on like a marble rail. And then it's kind of like marble tiles in front of them. So there's maybe like 400 pieces of glass in each window. And I realized that from my experience with cutting glass, there's only certain shapes you can cut. Otherwise the pieces will break. So I just realized, if I don't have this right, we're going to be wasting a lot of time. So I thought I would I would take this pattern to a professional studio and have the manager finish the pattern for me. So I went to the studio and I showed the owner. Actually, I told her, you know, I'm doing this project and I don't really feel competent to finish the pattern. I said, if you can finish the pattern, we'll pay you and I can do the rest, no problem. And she said, let's see what you got. So I rolled out the pattern and she said to me, you don't need help. So at that point I realized that Krishna was in charge. It wasn't me, it was Krishna. So Krishna sent all kinds of people to help and resources, and so somehow sometimes you experience Krishna's protection in very amazing ways. Actually, we were driving in from the airport in Italy, and unbeknownst to us, the driver was a little tired. And I was just about falling asleep, and I didn't know the driver was just about falling asleep, and then I watched this car in front of us just kind of very suddenly change lanes in front of us, and he was slowing down. And then we're moving towards this car. We're doing like probably 120 kilometers an hour on the highway, and he's going close, and I'm thinking, okay, he's going to notice and put on the brakes, but he didn't. And then Uttama, she said, Hare Krishna, but you also kind of screamed too, right?
Yeah, first I went, ah! And then I said, Hare Krishna, and I was thinking later, if I just said Hare Krishna, I probably would not have woken up the driver.
That's normal. So Krishna inspired her to both give a little scream and Hare Krishna. He hit the brakes and just stopped like inches away from that bumper, and we're going like very fast. Krishna saved us. So Srila Prabhupada's mission is, again, it's his vision, we're living in it, and it's something that's very important I think we should appreciate. It's not just a society or just an institution, but this is Srila Prabhupada's vision. And if all of us can just see what small part we can play and do our best to try and do that to the best of our ability, and pray to Krishna for empowerment to serve Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters. And also if we can appreciate also the service that everyone else is doing. Because again, ISKCON is the sum total of all those little services that have been rendered by so many devotees over so many years. So I very much have appreciated coming here and seeing how Srila Prabhupada's vision is manifest here, and see all you wonderful devotees swimming in the ocean of nectar of Srila Prabhupada's vision. And I pray that for you all, Prabhupada's vision manifests in very glorious ways for you all. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Maybe we have time for one question, if anyone has one question or comment. Okay, so I'll just say, no, you go ahead.
I just want to mention about Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, his Vyasa Puja, and he also has different amazing experience how Prabhupada and Krishna's mercy manifests. And also Radhanath Swami sometimes mentioned that he was with him at the time when he was living, and then he has Radhanath Maharaj said that he has a horrible pain, such a horrible pain, and then Bhaktitirtha Maharaj said, just demand, chant, please chant loudly on my ear. And Maharaj did that, Radhanath Maharaj did that, and then Radhanath Maharaj asked him, how do you feel now? He said, it doesn't exist any better than this. It's like, and then Maharaj said it was really transcendental experience, how he was really grateful for that pain, but for opportunity to hear Maha Mantra. It was really amazing.
Jai.
So,
okay, all right. Thank you all. Hare Krishna, glory to Srila Prabhupada, glory to Sri Panchatattva, glory to Vaishnava Sangha in Prabhupada's vision. Jai.